Good afternoon. Welcome to this afternoon's interview on the Rich Urban Show. We present news and views from the inflation principal point of view. We're very happy to have Jack Hefese on today, and he's running for county commissioner here in Jefferson County, and the unexpired term that used to be Claire F., right, in Charlestown District?
Correct. Yes. All right.
And when does that expire, by the way? It'll be four years?
If elected, will be 4 years.
Okay.
And if elected, I will take office in December, not January.
Oh, okay.
Because unexpired terms mean it's held until there's an election. So once the election occurs, the person is seated early. This just happened a couple of years ago when Peter Onosco ran. He was appointed and he lost the election bid to Ralph Lorenzetti, and Lorenzetti was placed in office about a month or so early once the election results were certified. So expecting that again.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, first of all, please just introduce yourself briefly. That would be great.
Well, let's see. I'm Jack Hefese. I lived in Jefferson County now for almost 19 years. I think at the end of this week, it will officially be 19 years. I moved here from Virginia. I worked for an aerospace company, and I was still doing Navy. And they were kind of located down in Reston and Washington, D.C. So living in Loudoun County in Leesburg was far more convenient than being here. And then after I retired from both just about the same time, my wife and I decided to move to Jefferson County, which is interesting because this is the old county of my ancestors.
Wow.
Back to the 1750s, they moved into this area. My first known ancestor to get here was 17 years old. And he migrated from Germany aboard the British ship Recovery. And he settled in Winchester. And then his son moved to Martinsburg. So we had a couple generations in Martinsburg. And then they kind of fanned out across the mid-Atlantic region to Maryland. And I even had an ancestor who moved to Shepherdstown. So this is the old homestead area for me. So I'm glad to be back. I love it here.
Great, great. Okay, well, let's jump right in on, I think, and we'll make sure, you know, you have time if you want to share anything we don't happen to talk about your vision as, commissioner. But let's jump in. So what do you think about solar development in Jefferson County?
Well, I am against solar development in Jefferson County. And here's why. When it was first presented to the community, to the different boards, it was presented as it was going to be very, very helpful to the county, good for us, yada, yada, yada. And we were going to get a lot of benefits out of it. And it was going to be practically invisible. So what we found out is that... and this is out of the mouth of the solar people, less than 1% of the energy generated from the current one that's in operation, less than 1%, goes to West Virginia at all. Most of it just goes into a power grid. Now that the plant, I hate it being called a farm because it's more like a compound or a factory, but that area, most of that stuff is complete. And they're still trying to do stuff to fix it up and enhance it, getting all the panels to work at the same time. And I think they told us that on a good day, they're only getting like 68%. The other thing that was, when it was brought before us, it was...
68% of what? Are working expected?
Of the power. It only gets 68% of its potential power on a good day.
Is that because of the lack of sun or some other reason?
They said on a good day, it's 68%. So I'm assuming that's a nice sunny day. So But anyway, most of these solar farms are 40-year leases. They're bonded. The bad news is the bonds at the end of the 40 years, if the solar factory goes belly up, that money isn't going to be worth pennies on the dollar in 40 years. And
that's true.
That land will never be returned to farmland. A lot of the topsoil was stripped off. Some of it is retained so that they can grow some plants. But basically, it's not a good deal for Jefferson County. Now that it's operational, most of the people that work there, a couple people run panels and monitor the functions the computer via computer. But most of the people that work there are going to be handling a weed whacker or a lawnmower.
Right. So
it's not a good deal for Jefferson County. That the farm that I'm talking about is Blake Solar.
Right.
They were the first one. There are four more coming.
Hopefully not. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I don't think they can be stopped at this point. And they're using 3,398 acres of what was farmland. So it's a big chunk of land. They're all in different stages of being instituted into the county. It's to me, it's a real shocker, because to me, it wasn't what was initially presented, and it was supposed to help the farmers.
Yeah, right.
And basically, most of the farmers that had the land are selling their property at outrageously high values, which is good for them, but it's really, really horrible for the people that live there. Anybody who thinks that solar is a good deal and not a problem should drive down Cabletown Road.
Yeah. Agreed. And also, I've seen the runoff in the river. Okay, let's move along from that. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
No worries. Wait, since we don't have a super long time, about 30 minutes, I wanted to get your... Okay. Anyway, one other question. Would you work to repeal the so-called solar amendment?
Yes, I would. Actually, I was delighted when Jennifer Krause brought it up. And she and Tricia Jackson supported the repeal of the solar text amendment. However, the comprehensive plan is under revision and will be going forward. I think it's already been sent to the county commissions for them to review. And it might be a better idea if we could fix the zoning in the comprehensive plan and keep new solar farms or... like I say, if you like solar, you're going to love the wind turbines, because that's next.
Okay.
There is more brand new energy deals that are coming.
To fix that. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I definitely want to fix it.
The current solar doesn't even fit with the comprehensive plan anyway.
That's correct.
This could go on for some time because it's such a big issue, but I do want to cover a few other things. We could loop back around.
All right.
If we have time. What you were talking about, Jennifer Krause and Tricia Jackson, as you know, there's a current case to remove them. And what is your opinion? Should prosecutor Matt Harvey be pursuing that? Should that have been dropped? I mean, I know it's way past that point now. What's going on here? What's your opinion on that?
Well, first of all, I thought the two commissioners were overcharged. Was a lot of misdemeanors. There weren't any felonies involved. And a lot of the misdemeanors were, in my humble opinion, just that they were opinions. They weren't really anything that was that did any damage. The point I keep going back to is the county commission was functioning just fine as a four-member commission. The controversy was replacing Claire Ath. After she resigned. Incidentally, she resigned to become a lobbyist, and she wound up being replaced by a lobbyist. So Claire Ath had the ethics to resign, but they replaced her with the person that had the same problem.
I thought she moved.
Is she still living in the county?
I don't know.
I saw her husband just recently, and their house deal fell through. They're both very, very nice people. Claire had a lot of ethics, and I salute her for that. But I think that the process on replacing her was fairly much flawed. As you know, they used code, and the code, in my opinion, if you read the code yourself, it talks about counties with three commissioners. Most counties in West Virginia have three commissioners. Yeah, there's two that have five, Jefferson and Berkeley. And there was some controversy about that. And I think one of the commissioners pushed back on that, citing a lot of problems, and didn't want to go forward because if they picked somebody, it could be overturned, yada, yada, yada. Well, now we're into that situation. Moving on, I don't want to, you know, kick up any feathers that I don't have to, but I think that once they were seated and the person was selected, that the prosecuting attorney should have dropped the charges. That's a big kerfuffle for the county and will cause a lot of instability in what we're trying to do for the benefit of the county.
Yeah, and you wonder if there's some kind of agendas going on behind that. Okay, I'm glad to get your opinion.
Well, I think there is. If you want me to comment on what I think the agenda is, I certainly can.
You can. You're all free to speak anything you want. Go ahead.
Well, what happened is once it became known that the two commissioners were anti-solar, that's when the kerfuffle began. So I think that it was an attempt to oust them because they were anti-solar. And my hunch is some of the people that are currently sitting on the commission, the president has a lot of, he's a developer, he's a realtor, he has his finger in a lot of solar stuff. He typically excuses himself from meetings when solar is being discussed. The replacement for Claire Ath is a lobbyist for Green New Deal Energy. So he has a lot of conditional problems with this type of stuff.
And he's currently a lobbyist right now?
He is still a lobbyist. And so that doesn't sit well with me. I'm not a lobbyist. I'm not a realtor. I don't have a special agenda, which is one of the reasons that I'm running. I'm retired. I don't need any more money. All the money I get from my pay, I'm donating to local nonprofits or national nonprofits.
Okay.
So I'm not in to make more money for myself, and I get the feeling that some people are in it for additional money. That's my perception.
All right. Very good. Yeah, I mean, not it's a very good thing, but I'm glad to know your opinion on it. So what in your opinion is the biggest issue like facing Jefferson County right now?
Well, the budget is always the problem. But a lot of that, a lot of it ties into solar, because solar has put a big ripple in the county. We pride ourselves on tourism and agritourism, and, the solar, factories are right along the main highways. They're going to be shown to everybody. It's also been brought up recently by another candidate, Michael Mood, who is a firefighter, fire chief down at Middleway Fire Department, that a lot of the solar panels are prone to fire. And most of the fire departments cannot handle putting out a fire that is generated by lithium or other things. So we could have a really, really bad brush fire that turns into a catastrophe like Palestine, where I think that was in Ohio, where there's a fire or an accident and a lot of those panels are being put on fire.
I think
the fire departments can't do it.
Yeah. I think I saw one of the like Michael Mood talking about or writing about that one of the proposed solar compounds has a bunch of lithium batteries. Not aware that Blake has it, but maybe one of the other ones.
Yes, and I think it's something that needs to be looked at. I'm not a person that shoots from the hip. I would like to get more information on exactly what they have, how bad of a problem it is, and if we can solve it, that would be great. But I think it's a real danger to the community, and it's something that needs to be looked into.
Okay.
Now, so, to answer your question,
the budget, yeah, how does the budget tie in?
The budget is a problem, and the budget is a problem because, as you know, everybody in Jefferson County wants something special for themselves or for their pet project, and I understand that, but we only have a certain amount of money. So the budget needs to be adjudicated very, very carefully. And my opinion is that some of these organizations that request budget items do a lot of fundraising on their own. And they're the type of organizations that I would be most willing to support. For instance, the fire departments, the police, EMS, the ambulance people are great. They're all wonderful, mostly volunteers. And they should get a close look when we do funding. But there are other organizations like the Historic Landmarks Commission that does a lot of fundraising on its own to help along their projects. And those are the type of organizations that I like best, the ones that help themselves along with the county.
Okay.
So, yeah, funding is the toughest issue. And I'm pretty fair.
So you mean being judicious with the funds? Since it's
judicious, and I want to make prudent allocations, and I would like to see, for instance, I would like to see the fire department, not the fire department, the police department members get raises,
mm-hmm.
and they were, I think, denied a raise again this year, and that's tough because they do a great job for us. And I'm talking about the sheriff in particularly his mm-hmm. organization. So okay. there are others too, but I listen to those budget deliberations every year and people ask questions, but I don't think they're asking really tough questions. That's a lot of the questions I consider to be softball questions. And I think we really need to get in there and find out going on. So budgeting is the toughest thing.
Okay.
All those organizations are deserving of something. I'm not suggesting anybody be thrown out.
Okay. Let's segue to you're talking about budget. Yeah. So with the ambulance service has been consolidated, as we know, and there's no more ambulance service up here. I'm in Shenandoah, by the way, up here on the mountain at the Blue Ridge Fire Department. Neither station has an ambulance. Some people, and I think including myself, feel that's not the best thing. That's increasing response time. How would you respond to that? Of course, that's a budget concern, but also there was one before. What's going on with that? What's your opinion about it?
Well, my opinion of that is it should not have happened. The mountain certainly deserves their own ambulance and fire group. I mean, because I've visited the mountain area many, many times. And it's not exactly the easiest place to get to, drive to. The winding roads, the beautiful scenery are wonderful. But when you're moving at a high rate of speed, getting to somebody quickly. Also, Middleway was stripped of their ambulance, and I think Bakerton. So there were actually three areas that lost their ambulances. And that's just not right, in my opinion. It's increased the response times and made them much better in Charlestown, but not much of the rest of the county. And I don't think that should be I would be in favor, quite frankly, of getting those ambulances back where they came from, and or look at some other alternative. But I don't think that those outer areas should have been stripped.
Okay, all right, that's fair enough.
Okay.
What about the issue of election integrity? So it's my through studying, I believe I'm right. Each county can choose their own election equipment. I mean, it has to follow the state guidelines, but there's no reason mm-hmm. here that we have to use, for instance, voting machines. And I'll give you a short anecdote, not anecdote, but anyway. So in 2016, up here at one of the bigger precincts at Blue Ridge Elementary, things moved along very well. There were about there's two, depending on your alphabet, there's two polling stations, but each one had like eight stations. Then in 2020, they went to all electronic, and it moved very slowly because they went to three machines on each side and no paper stations. But that's just a matter of speed. But also, what about the integrity of the voting system? Many people believe that machines, not believe, it's a fact, they could be hacked. Why are we using machines? Also, the counters, there's been many problems shown, like in Arizona and elsewhere, the counters, which count the, even if you use paper ballots, they can screw up. In West Virginia, I read the code, they can be hand counted, and they are in smaller areas. How can we ensure election integrity here in Jefferson County?
Well, I may have a unique opinion on that. I've worked as a poll worker the last three elections. I'm familiar with the process in Jefferson County. I believe it is being run very well. And yeah, you go in and those machines are hooked up to a power plug. They're not on an internet. The screen comes up and you punch in who you vote for. Then you press the button and it prints a paper ballot.
Right.
You can look at the paper ballot to verify that who you voted for is who's filled in on the little circles. And then you put it in the envelope, you take it over and you feed it into the machine and it's counted there. And they have a little thumb drive. And they pull the thumb drive when you take the equipment back into to the county clerk, and they run it. So we get our election returns pretty quickly. Now, as far as integrity is concerned, if there is a problem, we still have all of those paper ballots that are marked. They can be counted by machine or by hand. And I believe after the election, a couple days after the election, the county clerk and the election people, who, by the way, do a fabulous job, do a verification of the process, and they pull a couple of precincts at random out of a hat, and they do a hand count to make sure that it matches the.
I think they do one. But I was like asking about, like, for instance, on the. I'm particularly interested in the school levy thing. I'm interested in everything, but the school levy, you know, the schools take up 76% of our property taxes. And about 40%, I think, of that is the excess levy. That's, I mean, to me, so anyway, the point is, and I think they've changed the law. It has to be on the main ballot. But in 2015, very few people voted on that. Even 50 votes or 100 or 200 can swing it because it was like a special election. I think they've changed that now. I have to double check that. I hope so. But the point being, so the integrity is important. Anyway, I called the office, the clerk, I think Jackie Shadle. Yeah, Jackie. And she said, if you wanted a recount, you know, it would cost tens of thousands of dollars. So it's not quite so simple like you indicate. Yeah, I could ask for a recount if I want to pay for it, you know.
So, well, you know, let me just give you a little comment on that. The school board elections, the levy in particular, I think I remember that election because I think I worked the polls that time, too. And my feeling was, is that a levy election should have occurred at a general election,
right,
not at a special election, because the special election turnout is absolutely pathetic. It should be on the main election times.
I think they've changed that. I'll verify that.
Yeah. What I understood was is they did that. They wanted the special election. So if it failed, they could do it again and again and again until it passed. So that's kind of unethical to me. But I think it's wrong to do that. And if everything is on the general election for levies, I prefer that over special elections. I don't like special elections. In fact, I was at a commission meeting where they actually, the five commissioners turned down the school board the Board of Education, who wanted a special election to get more money. And they said, no, if you want it, you're going to have to pay for it. And then they weren't interested in it anymore. So I think things are writing themselves. It's just slower than I would like.
So do you know if it was changed about? I did read that previously that, you know, that is, and that's an expense for the county. You know, oh, it failed. We'll just do it again. No, that's not right. And
I agree.
It's been changed to go now on the general election. I have to verify that, but I'm not sure if they can bring it.
I think you're right. I think I heard something like that. Enough people squawked against it, and so I think it's being righted. It should have never been the other way, in my opinion. But
So talking about you know, funds, most of the funds come, correct me if I'm wrong, from property taxes, if not most.
You are correct.
And our property taxation is, well, you tell me, actually, I don't know the exact figures, but it seems to me our tax rate level is much higher than most counties in West Virginia. Plus, I do know it's a fact that almost 77% of our taxes go to the public schools. About 40% of that is the excess levy. So is there something we can do to make this like more better process, or should the tax rates be lower, or what?
Well, my opinion on this topic is that the impact fees were lowered to a real small amount. It's got to be less than 10% what it was several years ago. And the new
$1 or something.
Yeah, it's well, what
they
it is,
eliminated.
It's great for the builders. It's great for the developers and the realtors, but it's awful for the people who are already living here, because those impact fees should be, there should be good, strong impact fees for new communities that will help the school burden, highways, roads, the infrastructure. It would certainly, if we had better impact fees, we would have more money to give to fire, police, and ambulance.
But I think go ahead. I mean,
but I think lowering the impact fees was a travesty, and it needs to be corrected as soon as possible. It's probably.
But I think legally, though, like recently, I think there was discussion about that because Jane Tabb wanted to raise them up again. Is that impact fees are supposed to be to mollify, or whatever, is that's the right word? Take care of the impact of more students. But instead of more students, I think maybe hopefully partially because of the Hope Scholarship and other programs, the enrollment has been declining. Therefore, there's no legal basis for impact fees for schools. I don't think that the impact fees go for anything else. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, what I understood, it was mostly for schools, or what I call infrastructure. That's what I keep hearing people say. But I think Jane Tabb was correct in wanting to raise the impact fees. I agree with that, because the new housing that's coming, the high density housing in particular, is coming in, bring a lot of families, a lot of children, and that's a big impact on the schools, highways, and other things.
But the stats don't bear it out. It's the last 10 years. Roma declined.
Well, you're not comfortable with the elections, but you're comfortable with those facts.
And I'm talking about school enrollment statistics. We'll assume those statistics are on the level, I hope.
No offense to any of our wonderful teachers that we have here, but if I had children that were school age, they'd either be homeschooled or be going to a private school right now, because I think some of the stuff that's going in the public schools is just not right.
Right. Well, that might be part of the reason for decline in enrollment. Yeah. And by the way, you know, only like 1% of those excess fees, I looked into it, and it's not very transparent. That's kind of more another topic. But only like something like 1.5%, not something like, less than 2% went to the teachers. It was just a token. It's like, oh, let's give a 1% bonus to the teachers. What do those fees go for? You know, $20,000 bonuses, the diversity director, whatever, the bloated staff. Anyway,
the admin staff is outrageous. Yeah, admin for a lot of the schools is just out of sync with the way it should be.
All right. Well, as we're kind of winding down, what is there some other things that are on your platform or just on your heart or on your mind? And also, you, if you want to differentiate yourself from your opponent, you know, kind of give like a winding up or, you know, whatever else you'd like to say.
Well, the one thing we really haven't talked about, we touched upon, was transparency. I'm for 100% transparency. I don't have anything personal against my opponent. I would just having participated in numerous forums with him. I'm a little surprised because he seems to have quick draw answers to everything. And he's going to, you know, he's ordinance happy. He's going to write an ordinance or he's going to propose an ordinance. And he keeps doing that over and over again. And the problem with an ordinance is he's going to need two other votes if he's on the county commission. And the people who are most likely to support those ordinances are the people that he has come out against. So he has trashed, come out against Jennifer and Tricia. And they would be the people that would most likely support his platform. As for me, I have a long history in the Navy and working at an aerospace company. With working with people that don't necessarily agree with me, I think I could build collaborative efforts with people that are currently on the county commission. I get along with all of them. I don't have a problem with anybody. I would just like to see some things done differently. And I think it's very important for the county. We don't want to go belly up because of the budget. The fact that we've had so many administrators turnovers and in the administrative decision, it's a wonder that it's going as well as it is. So I would like to offer some stability. I'm a retired Navy veteran, 25 years in the United States Navy, where I reached the rank of captain, which is like a bird colonel. I worked 30 some years in aerospace at one of the largest companies, Lockheed Martin. And I'm happy to say that nothing I ever worked on ever blew up intentionally or otherwise. It was all pretty interesting stuff. I'm proud to it, but some of them, a lot of them were classified. I can't talk about them. But I have experience working with big budgets, a diverse group of people, and people that didn't always agree with me because I was mostly a process engineer and most engineers just wanted to be left alone and do their own thing. And sometimes they were forced, they had to go down the path. So I'm used to those kind of challenges. And I think the number of years that I have experience there would be a big differentiation for me and a nice young fellow who wants to get involved. And I think he probably will continue to look for other opportunities as the years go by if he loses, and more power to him. But for right now, I think I'm the right person for the job. I've been endorsed by Alex Mooney, Riley Moore, Kent Leonard, who's agriculture commissioner, mm-hmm. Bill Ridenour, and numerous other people in the counties that know me and think I will do a good job. I'm a listener. I don't like to... Yeah, here's the easy, fast solution. I like to think about it and get inputs from various groups before I enact on anything. That's basically where I am. I've done it before, done things like this before, and I would like to do them again for Jefferson County. Lived here for a long time. I love this place, and I don't want to see it going down the wrong path.
Okay, well said, well said. Well, Juan, thank you very much for joining us today, and
thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'll make this available on podcasts on any platform, The Rich Urban Show. You'll find it if you search Rich Urban Show, or also on a video format on our website, visionroot.org. Okay, so I'm going to thank you for joining us.
Happy to join you anytime. You're a fine gentleman. So.